Thank you for joining us on Hope for Today with Pastor Doug. And the title of our message today is called The King's Last Acts. It comes from John chapter 12. And we'll be reading bits and pieces of chapter 12 rather than reading the whole thing. But first, I want to thank all those that have been listening and continue to listen. And I pray these messages have been an encouragement to you. Recently, I've relocated to the United States, and we'll be broadcasting from there. So I hope you will continue to join me. Even with the time zones, the podcast will still be available anytime for download or for listening. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, it has been a while since we've done a podcast, and we do apologize for that. And this medium that you've given me to preach, to teach, so others can hear the word of God in English around the world. Lord, we thank you for each and every listener that listens to the podcast. We want to thank you for them. We are encouraged that they're hearing the word of God. And Lord, we just ask you'll be with me as we begin anew and afresh from the United States. So Lord, we ask your hand upon us as we bring forth the message today, as we're reminded of what transpired many, many years ago, one Palm Sunday. And Lord, we thank you for the Gospel of John, chapter 12, that gives us a vivid picture of what it was like and what would happen, as well as other scripture. So be with us this day and help us to be a blessing to someone for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you for joining us. What a privilege it is to come to you each and every day, Monday through Friday, bringing a podcast message. As I said, in John chapter 12, there's a vivid story of the last week of Jesus' life. We know that he was going to Bethany. It says in John chapter 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Here he was having dinner with Martha and Mary, and Lazarus and probably others were there. But we want to look at this a little bit differently. In John chapter 12, it talks about rejection. You know, have you ever been felt rejection or been misunderstood? Jesus was. For us, we can somewhat know what that was like, just a little bit. Maybe not as much as he felt. But we know that Jesus felt rejected. He was misunderstood. Things were taken out of context. And his public ministry would come to an end. He was going to be with the Father. There was hostility against him. That hostility had risen to a fever pitch where they wanted to take his life. They were afraid of what he was saying. The people were following him. However, he had gentle compassion for people. An abundance of miracles would be met with oppression and with violence. You know, sometimes when you try to help someone, you know, you do a favor. We have to be careful that we don't enable people. You know, Jesus did not. Jesus performed miracles. He restored people's lives, the sight. He healed them from their sickness, like the woman with issue of blood. Even the woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus forgave her. But you know, Jesus knew what was coming. His disciples heard him talk about his pending death. However, they did not understand. They were bewildered at times when he spoke about his death coming. But he was about to die a terrible death. On Palm Sunday, many, many years ago, there were crowds that sought to make him a king. You say the message is titled The King's Last Act. But Jesus is the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. But he was not set to be an earthly king. We know Jesus chose the way of the cross rather than be a king here on earth. We know Jesus was saying his goodbyes, as we saw or we read that he traveled to Bethany and he had dinner with Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and many others. We know that Mary poured expensive perfume on his feet and wiped them with her hair. In John chapter 12, verse 7, we see Jesus reply to Judas's remark concerning the perfume. Judas was saying it was a waste. It could be sold and the money given to the poor. But Jesus replied, "It was intended for my burial." It meaning the perfume. Jesus goes on to tell them that he would soon be departing. And once again, they didn't fully understand. The next day, a great crowd had come for the feast. Some heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Soon Jesus would come into view. I can imagine what that's like. And many went out to meet him, waving palm branches and throwing their coats on the floor, or on the ground, I mean. They began shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." "Blessed is the King of Israel," which is a quote that comes from Psalms 118, verse 25 through 26. In verse 14, we're told that Jesus was riding on a young donkey. If he were a king, he would not have come in on a donkey. He would have come in on a white horse. Verse 15 is a quote also from Zechariah 9:9. This is just confirming what the Old Testament was foretelling. Verse 23 of John chapter 12, Jesus was telling them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." In Isaiah 53, verses 8, or 3 through 8, I apologize, he was despised, he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows who knew suffering. Verse 4, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions. He would be crushed for our iniquity, our sin. The punishment that would bring us peace was upon him. Reconciliation, restoration with God. It would bring us into right relationship with God. It would be the bridge. Jesus would bridge the gap. And he gave us the hope of eternity, the hope of redemption in him and through him. By his wounds we are healed and were made whole. He paid the price for you and I today. He was and is the sacrifice once and for all. Verse 8 tells us, by oppression meaning by force, he was afflicted, he was beaten, he suffered, and he would die on a cross. He would be like a sheep led to the slaughter. He was silent. He would be cut off from the land of the living for transgressions. He would be assigned a grave with the wicked and the rich, a borrowed tomb, as we're told. His life would be a guilt offering, a sacrifice once and for all. Jesus is the way today. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the giver of life. In John 3, 16 and 17, we are reminded, and let's turn there, John 3, 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Praise the Lord for that. So God loved the world, the people, and he gave his one and only Son who would die. who would suffer first and would die on a cross. But 3 days later, he would rise again and give us the hope of eternal life. But we must believe in him. Scripture tells us we are to repent, to seek forgiveness, and God is quick to forgive. We can be restored in right relationship. We can be redeemed from the pit of hell. But it reminds us that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's only one way. Only one way. So it's a stark reminder for us today in John 3:16 of what and why Jesus came and what he did for us that Palm Sunday when he came on a donkey instead of a horse, a white stallion, or whatever kind of horse it was. And on Good Friday, he would be hung on a cross. And Easter Sunday, the hope that was given for all mankind, because he did rise again. That's our hope today. So I pray this Palm Sunday, we don't just think of hanging him back on the cross. And we know the story. Many of us, if we're Christians or grown up in the church, we know the story. But it seems like every Easter we rehash the same events over and over and over. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is our hope. It was a promise from God, because God wasn't finished with us. God wanted us to be redeemed. So we're reminded today of the hope that we have. And it's available to everyone, not an exclusive group of people or people from this church or this culture, that culture. He came for all. He came to redeem each and every one of us. But it's our choice to accept. As the scripture told us, many rejected him. Those same voices that were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, God save us," would then be calling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Come Good Friday. We live in a world today where people, one day when tragedy happens, they flock to the churches. But then after a few months or so, they disappear. They fade away. But you know, we have to preach the word and teach the word for what it is. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to redeem. And Jesus came so that we would have a way of eternal life. Today can be your day. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you can accept him. It's as easy as praying, "Lord, forgive me of my sin." And he'll be quick to forgive. But then you walk in the newness of life, in this redemption. And we would have the hope of eternity with him. Many, many people don't have that hope because they don't want to leave the way of sin. They don't want to leave the life that they're living. But we still have to preach the word and teach the word. Lord, we're praying for a revival. We're praying that there'll be a revival in each of our hearts and in our minds. That we have a hunger and thirsting for righteousness, for the things that are right. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Thursday. We thank you that you got us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the listeners. We pray, Lord, that this message will mean something to someone. And Lord, if there are individuals that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, today can be that day. Their life can be turned around in a moment. But Lord, we must repent. We must confess. Scripture tells us that John the Baptist called, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And you know, we don't know when our last day will be. But Lord, we want to be ready. See, preacher, you're scaring. It's a scare tactic, but it's not. It's the reality. The other day, one of my friends got up in the morning. He was not feeling well, and he's been sick. And he passed away unexpectedly. You know, we don't know what the next moment will hold. So we need to be ready. We need to be in right relationship. So Lord, we pray for those that are lost in the world, that someone or something or sermon or pamphlet or tract or whatever it might be, or even reading the Word of God, that you will speak loud and clear through whatever medium you need. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are facing persecution and oppression because of their faith. Lord, we live in a world that seems so chaotic and out of control. But Lord, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We have a peace that's found only in a relationship with you. Even when the storms of life come, we still have this peace. And Lord, that's what sets us apart from the world. There are things happening all around. But Lord, we need to keep our focus on you and not those situations. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are sharing the gospel in these countries where they can't do it openly. But Lord, we pray for those that are hearing, that they will hear something that will spur their interest. It will help them to understand that we need a Savior. Lord, we thank you for that Palm Sunday many, many, many years ago, that you humbled yourself, coming in on a donkey. And Lord, we don't fully understand all that transpired that day on the cross, on Good Friday. But Lord, we're reminded of what happened. We are reminded of what you did for us. We're reminded in John 3:16, "For God so loved this world." This world that seems so chaotic and out of control. Lord, it was the same back then. There was so much going on. The world was under Roman oppression. The Roman army was persecuting the church, persecuting the believers. And Lord, there were those that were persecuting others because of their belief in you. But Lord, we thank you that you were there with the disciples. Lord, they did scatter that day. They ran away. Peter would deny you. But Lord, you forgave him. And you restored him in right relationship with you. In the scripture, you tell us, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Lord, we claim that promise today. It's not about a building. It's about each and every one of us that's a part of the body of believers, that we are built upon the solid rock. Lord, we're reminded of a hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." That's the hope we have to pass on to others. So Lord, we want to thank you for a new beginning in a new country, that we can share the gospel, we can broadcast around the world the good news, the message of hope, found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we can be a blessing to someone for you. We believe you bring people in and out of our lives throughout the day, whether for a moment, for a time, or for a season. Help us to share the good news. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So thank you for joining us this Thursday on Hope for Today with Pastor Doug. And we're excited for these new messages. And we're excited for all that you're going to do. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great day.